So we have today Jesus taking up a financial image as a way of trying to communicate the kingdom to us. It's the image of the talent. Now we have in our culture today, we have coins like the dime, the quarter. The talent at the time of Jesus was a coin in circulation. And it was a rather sizable coin, worth a lot of money, which at that time was actually weighable. You could put it in a scale and it'd be so much silver and it'd be worth that much. And that's what the talent was. And so Jesus uses the image of the talent as so much money being given to this one, five. This one's getting two, and then another gets one according to their ability. And the story is he's looking for an account of his investment. I gave you this much. How did you do? Well, I made you five more. And that's the image he's using for this. And I think we've all heard of Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, I think, he's a rather wealthy man in our country who's renowned for his ability to take so much money and multiply it by way of wise investment. I just read an article about him recently. He made the news for having an ad on eBay. And he had all these people who were bidding to have breakfast with him. And apparently it became very high. People were willing to pay a lot of money just to sit with this man and talk about investments, so they could get a return on their investment. Well, see, that's a rather trustworthy man in the financial world. And what Jesus is doing is transposing that into the spiritual. We too have been given riches. We've been given riches in the order of nature. God is he's the creator. He's created us. And we all have been endowed with certain gifts of nature. We've also been endowed with gifts of grace. These are all riches that are symbolized by this notion of the talent that Jesus is using. And of course, with these gifts, with these talents, we are meant to take those and receive them and then invest in them, and hopefully attempt to multiply them. And that's what we're talking about. And in many ways, you could see, for example, someone like Warren Buffett taking a little bit of money, putting it on the market, making billions more, as he's very good at doing. But the article continued to say that Warren Buffett, and I think we've all known this, I've read it in other articles, where he decided not to allow his children to inherit any of his wealth. He didn't want his children and hasn't wanted his children and won't let his children be given any of his wealth, because he didn't want them to just be handed wealth. He wanted them to learn, as he did, how to make it through life instead of have it just handed to them. You know, that to me is an image of our Father in heaven. Our Father, he is a very wealthy deity. He's got a lot of wealth. When you think in terms of what he's capable of endowing us with, just in the order of nature, but then especially in the order of grace, what he has even given us. It's tremendous wealth. But he doesn't do it all for us. And maybe, you know, you might think of Warren Buffett and say, well, that's kind of mean. He should give some of his wealth to his kids. But his kids have had to make their way, and they've had to get in there, go to work. They had to get their college degrees, they had to get their jobs, just like everybody else. And as far as I'm concerned, I think they're better people for that. Because when we're given something, it's very easy for us to take it for granted and not appreciate what we're given until we have to invest in it or we have to earn it. And I think there's something like that going on with our Father as well. I mean, I'll take as an example myself. I happen to have worked very hard to get a PhD in theology. And I taught for many years in the university. And my approach to it was I wanted to have to become credentialed by the same standard of the lay people at the university, all of whom were expected to get doctorates. So instead of maybe granting myself a waiver because I'm a Franciscan, no, I too wanted to earn my spot on the faculty. And I did that. Some years later, however, I read a life of St. Catherine of Siena only to discover that in the span of about 45-minute vision, she was given and infused knowledge by God that I worked 6 years to earn. God gave her what I had to labor for. And I could go to God and I could say, well, why didn't you do that with me? But he didn't do that with me. He did do it with her, and she's even a doctor of the church, and here I am, I'm retired. But I think, looking back, I think I'm a better person for having gone through the labor that it took to complete that degree, just in terms of life and the way that it forced me to have to organize myself. And I also learned by experience all the excuses that could possibly come up for my students for why they don't want to do their work. I learned that because I went through it all myself. And I probably even became a little more kind and compassionate with those weaknesses with my students as a result of having gone through all of that myself. And for that, I think I was a better person. And that's how our Father operates. He won't do it without us. But what if we don't even acknowledge what he's giving us? What if what he's giving us becomes a gift under the Christmas tree that we never unwrap? What if he's endowing us with what's necessary, but we don't even acknowledge it? And that becomes the scenario of the third person in the gospel today. He's given a gift, he's given a talent, and what does he do? He buries it. He buries it. And as a result of that, there's no return on the investment. And that's sad. That's kind of sad when we don't have a return on the investment. Because if you look more at the third person, it says here that I knew you were a difficult, demanding person. You harvest where you didn't plant. And you gather where you didn't scatter. You want me to go into a place where you didn't plant. Now, where Jesus doesn't plant, that usually means evil's winning, winning, evil's winning. That's what we're talking about. It's a place where you didn't plant, and you expect me to go into there and be fruitful? How's that possible? It's a bit like the miracle of the loaves. How could we possibly feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread? How's that possible? Well, it's not possible, so don't even try. You see? And that's what the third person did. He was given one talent. I have 5 loaves of bread, 5,000 people to feed. That's impossible. Bury the bread. See, Our Lord can, and He will, and He does step up, especially when we go into circumstances where we don't believe God is even there. And what we'll tend to do is head down into the valley instead of trying to take things up a notch and improve, or at least not be taken down ourselves to what's going on around us that's possibly subhuman, subpar. Can there be streams in the desert? Is it possible that water could come from a rock? Well, that was one of the complaints of the people. We don't have any water out in this desert. And Moses struck a rock and the water came out of it. Is that possible? Not for you and I. And so we get into situations, we get into places, we get into deserts, we get into circumstances. And maybe we give up. Maybe we just give up. Because we're not tapping what's being given to us. We're not tapping it. And what usually can happen if evil begins to win the day is our spirits can start to become bitter, maybe, or angry, resentful. I mean, the most common example, your introduction to the fallen world is going to be your family. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. There's no family on the face of the earth that was ever sinless. Not even the Holy Family. Yeah, Jesus was, Mary was, but not Saint Joseph. And he died young, trying to keep up with these two. And that's our families. Our families, our parents weren't perfect. My parents weren't. Is that going to cripple me for the rest of my life because I didn't have perfect parents? For some people, it does. And what they go on doing is just blaming everyone for their miseries, and they never really arrive at the fact that they have a shot in life. But it's not on their own resources. We have been given, we've been dealt a deck of cards. And see, here's the deal. There's no one, there's nothing, and there's no experience, no family of origin experience, I don't care what it is, that our Lord won't help you get through. And maybe at that point you want to say, you know what, I think it's wrong that you put me through that and didn't do more for me. Like we might say, it's bad that Warren Buffett didn't give his kids an inheritance and just let them not have to work for it. And maybe we want to get critical with God even, that He's doing it this way. And what we're really doing is we're giving up on ourselves and the possibility that we could actually get through those circumstances and still be happy and not allow them to define us. And maybe even begin to forgive and unload resentment, anger, bitterness, hurt, despondency. You see, all of those are signs of someone who's buried their talent. And what the Lord is looking for is a return on His investment. I gave you a stream in the desert. Did you drink from it? I gave you 5 loaves. Did you start feeding people? It makes me think of my parents and putting all of us children through Catholic school. They couldn't afford it. And I remember my second oldest sister asked my dad one time, "How did you do that?" And my dad's answer was precious. He said, "We just started. We just started. We made the decision with your oldest brother to send him, and then we just kept going. And I don't know how it worked, but it did. And that's sometimes what we have to do, brothers and sisters. We just have to start. And when we begin, the stream in the desert appears. The resources start to come because we're attempting it. And he wants to help us get through. And the amazing thing is, he's gone before us through the place wherein there appears to be no God, on Calvary. That was a place, that was a bad day for Jesus, a very bad day. And look at the riches he brought to that desert of Calvary, with the mockery, the hatred, the blasphemy against God. Look what he brought, to the point of even forgiving us in that context. And we say, well, that's impossible. Yeah, and it's impossible to feed 5,000 people with five loaves. And it's impossible to have water come from a rock. And so, let's bury our talent that he's given us. And what happens to us when that happens? We become less. Our human spirit begins to tank when we face challenges and give in to them. Brothers and sisters, Jesus got up every time he fell going up Calvary, because he never gave up on us, even though we kept beating him down. You know, none of us hopefully will have to ever go through all of that, but that's the image of what we're meant to do, is keep getting up. When we face those points where, gee, doesn't seem like you're here, Lord. I don't see you having planted here. You haven't set it all up for me. It's not all in place. I can't do anything here. And see, that's not true. That's not true. And this is what we're talking about in this gospel today, brothers and sisters. Our Lord, he has a lot of riches, and he wants to help us get through things that we face in life, all of us. And it's all different. All of us have our own particular tailor-made cross to fit our back. I couldn't carry yours. You probably couldn't carry mine. But you can, with him, though. See, this is the deal. And so, what is one way we can start with this whole approach to tapping into the resources we have from Christ, the riches he gives us, the talents he endows you with? I think one of the first ways is gratitude. Gratitude. That's at the heart of the church's prayer. This is called the Eucharist, which is from a Greek word, eucharistia, meaning thanksgiving. Because you'll notice the operative word in gratitude is you, not me. You. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'll bet I could go through all 10 commandments and find ingratitude every time we break one of them. Like the third commandment, keep the Sabbath holy. I'm not going to go to Mass this Sunday. That's a lack of gratitude. Honor your father and mother. They're not worthy. They had all these faults. It's a lack of gratitude. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I'm not grateful for my spouse. They've caused me too much hardship. It's a place where Jesus doesn't appear to have planted anything for me. I'm not grateful. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I'm not grateful for the truth So I deny it and give it away and start lying. It's an ingratitude. How about sanity? Have you thought about that? I know I should not, based on my experience at least, be as sane as I am. I really shouldn't. Sanity, the value of that. Do we appreciate, by knowing Christ, how sane life can become? And how utterly insane that world is getting out there? When you actually have people in our culture wanting to make a human right out of strong, powerful people preying upon weak, innocent children in the womb. That's insanity. When powerful people prey upon weak people, and we want to make a human right out of that? Do we value the sanity we have in Christ? Do we value the sanity we have in Jesus? Are we grateful for it? Or have you become insane like the rest of that world out there? So, brothers and sisters, today I invite you to acknowledge what you've been given. And to become grateful for it. And begin to invest in it. Because it does make the impossible possible. And in places where you never thought good could be, God can show up. And He is the water coming from a rock. He is the stream in the desert. He is love. Where apparently you can't find any. As on Calvary. And we can lean into that and we can trust it and believe that what we are seeking in our lives is the preservation of life instead of the compromise that would go with just giving into the whole of what's in front of us. We don't have to do that, brothers and sisters. Not in Jesus Christ.